Bear Down Bears fans, another edition, a Friday edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, John Yurkovich, the good kid is in the building. Yurk, the offseason's here, my friend.
Yeah, I'm quite happy about it. I mean, I wish the Bears, I wish the Bears could have made the playoffs, but if the Bears aren't going to make the playoffs, then so be it.
Yeah.
And then I spent the last week watching some good football. Well, one game that was good, but some surprising outcomes on the rest of the games. I did go 5-1.
Okay.
Against the spread, ATS. Okay. My only loser, Houston. I did not have Houston doing that to Cleveland the way they did it. But two interception returns for touchdowns will take a game that might be somewhat closer, even though I don't think it was, that turned it into something very laughable.
And that's what I want to talk with you about. I mean, listen, we've seen a ton of good football in wild card weekend, super wild card weekend. And on the flip side of that, now we have games coming up. I think we saw some surprises that pertain to the Chicago Bears in what we've saw development-wise from Jordan Love and what we've seen from C.J. Stroud in his first year. When you watch those games, when you get to take a look at these guys up close, what's the biggest difference in how other teams seemingly can just take a quarterback and be able to develop it that the Bears are missing here for life?
Well, two different things, I would say. One's quarterback that came straight out of college. Another one's a guy that had a chance to sit for a couple of years.
Right.
So there's two different ways to do it. These guys have done it two different ways, and it's worked out for them. You take a look at the quarterbacks over the course of time. The guy up, Kirk Cousins, Washington didn't like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is a damn good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Stafford with the Rams, he was with the Detroit Lions, and they couldn't get over the top. So they decide, hey, we're going to go a different way. We're going to rebuild. We're going to get Jared Goff. They developed the team around Jared Goff, but you still see Jared Goff have a Jared Goff game the way he did against the Bears.
Right.
So, you know, Jared Goff is an NFL quarterback. Stafford's an NFL quarterback. Is one better than the other? I think Stafford's a little bit better than Jared Goff, but both find themselves in the final eight, final four of their conference, final eight overall of all the teams. So you've got quarterbacks that can win games for you. I think too many people want to try to hit the home run. You know, they want to hit the grand slam. I don't know if that necessarily is a situation. C.J. Stroud looks good this year.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to have success the more he plays and the more he goes on. But we'll see. You know, Herbert was supposed to be the end-all, be-all. Guy that can throw for all the yardage in the world, but now he's got to find a way to win. So I think the importance of a quarterback is finding a way to win with the quarterback you have. I think you can do it a number of different ways. Only one team wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
31 teams are going to go home upset. They're going to be mad. They're going to look at their team. They're going to say, hey, how do we improve? How do we get to the next level? And then you tweak it and you come back and you're worse than you were the year before. Yeah, you know, so I mean that happens.
It's true.
That happens.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. They thought they could withstand a lot of the pieces that they let go.
Right.
You have a bad coordinator situation.
Cincinnati's got an excuse.
Yeah.
Cincinnati has the excuse their quarterback got hurt, so maybe they didn't have the exact type of quarterback they needed, but Mason Rudolph came in and stepped in for the Pittsburgh Steelers and at least got Pittsburgh to the playoffs. Yeah. You know, so what is it? What are you looking for? Are you looking for Tom Brady every time you go out there? Well, guess what? Tom Brady's aren't available all the time.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. So Tom Brady was drafted when? 2000. Mahomes was drafted in 2019. So you're separated 19 years by quarterbacks that, you know, five straight AFC championship games for.
By the way, that's a generation.
Yeah. 20 years. 20 years.
20 years generation.
All of a sudden, every year, you got a generation.
Every year, every single year, so there's a generational talent.
I don't buy it. Yeah. So. If you give up on your quarterback, you definitely can't develop your quarterback.
Right.
So you're not developing anybody. Joe Flacco, when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, they built the team around him, built the defense around him. And come playoff time, he always found a way to flourish in the playoffs because he had a great playoff record. He won one Super Bowl, they paid him, and they destroyed the rest of their team.
Yeah.
Because they had to pay their quarterback. So, I said late in the year, I thought they were going to keep both Eberflus and they're going to keep Justin Fields. I thought Fields and Getsy were going to be tied at the hip, that you guys either succeed or you don't succeed together. Yeah. They went a different route, and they said, hey, we're going to get another guy in here, and that's what they're deciding on. They're going to figure out who exactly they're going to get in here. But you develop a quarterback by believing in the quarterback. You develop a quarterback by giving an opportunity to succeed. So have I seen – so? And here's your level of development. From year one to year two, you can develop. Year two to year three, you can develop. From year three to year four, you notice that the curve starts to flatten.
Yes.
Some point
you're gonna
you've learned out. Everything you're gonna learn.
Yeah, you're gonna peak out.
You have learned what you were gonna learn, and where are you there? And can you play winning football with the quarterback at that level? So Kirk Cousins got to a level, and he's flattened out. Now you know exactly what Kirk Cousins is. Minnesota has gone to the playoffs before. Jordan Love has had a chance to learn. Now you've seen him actually achieve on the field. Now we'll see what is he really capable of. You know. Is he really capable of something special, or is he there and this is the level that you're going to get from Jordan Love the rest of the way out, which is a pretty good level.
Right.
Which would be a level that'd be the best quarterback in Chicago Bears history.
Yeah.
So there's not like I can go to a store and just say, hey, how to develop a quarterback. There's not one way to do it. There's different ways and different methods and different philosophies to do it. And you just hope that the guy, the quarterback you get and the coaching staff you have can get together and achieve that development that you're looking for. And development doesn't just happen at the quarterback position. It happens all over the football
team. Uh-huh.
So you got to have a coaching staff that can develop everyone, all their players. Tony Boselli, his first year, 95, was not the Tony Boselli of 96 or 97. There was a maturation process of figuring out what one can do, what can't do. What can I get away with? What can't I get away with? What works? What doesn't work? That's there. It happens. It's development all the time from your first to your second to your third year. But once you get to your third, fourth year, you're pretty much the guy that you're going to be.
Yeah.
So, and then it's, can you build a team around it? Can you build a team around right now, Justin Fields? Where are they lacking? Maybe a receiver, but the quarterback still has to be able to get the ball to the receivers. You can have all three receivers be just as frustrated as Darnell Mooney was this year. And Darnell Mooney was frustrated this year. So you can do what you like and you get all the weapons you want. If they can't get the football in a timely manner, it's not going to make a difference. So that's what you've got to ask yourself. What do we do?
Well, I mean,
and listen, this is a running football team. This is not a passing football team.
Yeah, no.
This team has gone oppo. And they're more running the football. And maybe with the way they're calling interference and defensive holding, you should become a running football team.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to just let people get away, defensive backs get away with what they got away with this year, I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, listen, the referees as a whole in this league are right, ridiculous.
But I'm just saying how it affects your now offensive philosophy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and what you can and can't do.
The first play where Josh Allen runs, he goes for a slide, looks very similar to Justin Fields. Oh, yeah. Flags are flying everywhere. Yeah. Oh, there's people in the stands are throwing flags. Roger Goodell's in the stand. He's throwing flags. Like everybody's throwing flags all of a sudden.
Trust me.
Justin Fields can't get one.
I saw it. There's another one that guy got hit and they didn't make the penalty call. Quarterback wasn't important enough.
Yeah.
Depends on how important the quarterback is to the image of the league.
Yeah.
So I mean that's basically what it's become.
Yeah, you can clearly see it. You can clearly see it. One thing that you said though that I thought was really good there was that we had talked before and you said Luke Getsy and Justin Fields would be tied at the hip.
Yeah, I thought they would be.
Is that possibly still the case? Does it feel like Justin Fields may also be out of here because he didn't succeed with Luke Getsy?
We don't know. And that's going to come with further analysis and further evaluation and meeting Caleb Williams, meeting Drake May, meeting Jaden Daniels, meeting
Michael Penix.
Penix, the youngster out of Washington. Bo Nix out of Oregon, J.J. McCarthy. There's no reason you wouldn't interview anybody and everybody that's at the quarterback position. I'd interview the top eight guys.
Yeah.
Because the top eight guys will probably go from the first to the third round. Don't know when they'll go, but they'll go first to the third round. And there's different feelings on Penix, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, I believe. I think your first three are locked in. And then there's different feelings. But maybe even I'd put Jaden Daniels in there, the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. He had three lackluster years, and he had one great year last year where he won the Heisman Trophy. So I think you'd have to be patient. Maybe include him on the next group of three or four.
Yeah,
and then find yourself a quarterback you like if that's the direction you're going to go. But if you're going to get a quarterback, having Justin here is not going to be the best thing in the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think you can bring Justin Fields and Jaden Daniels here together.
No.
And think there's going to be some sort of mesh, you know? When they brought Favre in, it was Mikowski and Detmer. And Detmer was a ninth-round draft choice. The ninth-round draft choice, even though he's the Heisman Trophy winner, was not going to threaten anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody felt threatened. Mikowski felt threatened by Favre. By I'm Favre sure he did. Up. And when he got hurt and Favre went in, it was over for Mikowski.
Yeah. It was threatened for good reason.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you said something about the belief in the quarterback too, right? You develop a quarterback by believing in him.
Well, you've got to give him the repetitions.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get the repetition, it's going to be difficult for him to be able to develop as a quarterback. So you're going to have to take the good with the bad.
It feels like the history of the Bears is the quarterback's always on the hot seat. Yeah, you get the year two and it's like, all right, bud, you better figure this out by year three. And then it's like, well, you also have brought in new coaches at this point. You brought in new coordinators at this point. These guys don't believe in them. They want their guy. They want their next guy.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the mob is fickle. Yeah. I'm not even talking about the coaching staff. The backup quarterback is the most popular quarterback in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been for an extended period of time. Doesn't matter. Everybody likes somebody else. That's just the way it is. Whether it was with McMahon and Steve Fuller took over, whether it was McMahon, Tomczak, McMahon, Doug Flutie, didn't make a difference who it was. The backup quarterback was always the most popular guy. And for one reason or another, that's the way it is in the city of Chicago. They've kind of done it weirdly with their coaching situation.
Yeah.
And getting a quarterback, having him for 1 year, firing the coaching staff, and then coming in. So, yeah, as of late, it's been done a little bit backwards. But I think that's why one reason Eberflus is here. I think it's a reason that probably Fields is going to be here.
Mm.
And I think it's a reason they're going to live and die together. And that's the way it's going to work. And so we'll see how they progress forward. But I believe Justin Fields is going to be here. I believe they're going to take that number one pick and they're going to move down. They're going to get some more trade assets.
Right.
You know, more draft
assets. A ton of holes still on this team.
Right. And so
finding the quarterback makes us feel better.
Yeah.
Doesn't fix not having a three technique.
Well, that's
doesn't
true.
Fix
well,
not
doesn't fix.
Yeah, I mean, like,
doesn't fix having another guy coming off the corner too.
Doesn't fix not having a left tackle.
But, hold on, Dexter. They got the three technique. He's Dexter. That's
his
name.
You like him.
Yeah, not everybody's Warren Sapp. Not everybody is Cortez Kennedy. It takes time for guys to develop.
Yeah,
on the inside, that's just the way it is. Fletcher Cox wasn't a world beater in year one. He wasn't. Brian Young and Dana Stubblefield weren't world beaters in year one. They developed into becoming world beaters and good tandems in the middle together. John Henderson and Marcus Stroud weren't world beaters, and they certainly weren't pass rushing three techniques. There are two big bodies in the middle that cause chaos.
Yeah.
So I don't look at most first-year guys to think they're going to come in and blow the world up like Aaron Donald did. Generational player.
Generational talent.
10 years ago,
it's
right?
Been, yeah, it's been about, it's 11 about
years.
Almost 10
years. Yeah, 10, it's 10 years
yeah,
for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah,
he's for got sure. 111, 113 sacks. They're talking about him actually retiring.
He's been talking about that for 3 years.
Well, obviously. He told him to redo my final 3 years on my thing.
Yeah.
If you don't, I'm going to retire. So they redid the final 3 years. 2 years, they're into it now. He's got a $5 million guarantee. On March 17th, it becomes a $35 million guarantee. It feels like the team has already positioned themselves, and we're never going to see March 17th.
Mm.
So you need to figure out what's going on with you or not going on with you. But he's guaranteed to get $5 million. So no matter what happens.
No matter what, you won't be a Ram on March 17th.
Well, and it's sad, but that's the way it works.
That's the business.
His NFL Hall of Fame thing is legitimate. Yeah. His is legitimate.
Yeah.
100-plus sacks out of the defensive tackle position, which is impossible. Three-time defensive player of the year. Defensive rookie of the year in his first year. He finished second twice. So there's no gray area who Aaron Donald is. Aaron Donald was phenomenal.
Where do you put him all time at that position because
on the interior defensive lineman. Interior
defensive line.
Well, he's better than Sapp.
Sapp has said it. Sapp has said it himself. He's literally said he's like.
I mean, he's better than me. When guys are better than you, Gilbert Brown was better than I was. Yeah. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
You sit there and do whatever I want to do. I'd be BSing everybody. I don't BS people. I tell them the truth. So Warren Sapp, he's better than Cortez. Cortez played a lot on 2-I, too. I'm looking at other guys in the middle. Keith Millar, he's better than McMichael.
Yeah.
So when Hamp rushed in on the inside, he's better than Hampton was.
He might be number one.
He just
might be the best.
Right. He just created more chaos than anybody. And I know Brian Young just went in. Here's a good name for you. Leroy Glover. Leroy Glover was a hell of a defensive lineman. You know, they started getting all these marginal guys. Like, who's the big fat guy out of New England that retired? Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
Leroy Glover was 5 times the player Vince Wilfork was.
Yeah.
Why won't people say it? I'll say it. I ain't got no problem. Leroy Glover was a hell of a player.
Less jewelry. That's the only reason.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Less jewelry.
I don't know who does. Maybe he never. What are the pants that he always wore? The
overalls?
The jeans. The overalls. Maybe Leroy Glover never wore overalls. You know, nothing else on. I don't know. But I think if you ask Vince Wilfork an honest question, who was better, you or Leroy Glover? And Leroy played the nose tackle, too. Yeah. You know, maybe in a 3-4, but I think it was more of an offset 3-4 where he played the angles.
Right.
But I think Leroy Glover was a much better player than Vince Wilfork. Now, Vince had his position. Vince had his thing. Vince did it, you know, his run stuff.
For sure.
That's it. Yeah. You know, that's what I
he was a monster. He ate up space. It's no disrespect to any of these guys.
Yeah, but space eaters don't go to Hall of Fame.
Just
the facts. Ooh. Look at the raw numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the impact. Yeah. Was he ever the best player on his defense? No. The answer is no. The answer is a resounding no. He was not. Not even remotely close. So, and that's just being fair. Richard Seymour at the time, and I don't know how much Richard and Vince even crossed over. Maybe a year. I don't know. Maybe a year and change. Who knows? I don't know. We know how much they crossed over. But you had defensive backs there that were good. But you just, on a team that's only had Ty Law and Seymour make it over the 20-year run that they had being a dominant football team in the AFC. So
it is interesting. I'm not gonna lie. That's a.
Well, don't go looking for his sacks.
You're not gonna get much.
Vince Wilfork.
You're not gonna get much numbers.
You're not gonna find him.
You're not gonna get much numbers there. So,
and it depends how much of an impact you think he really had. I just know Leroy Glover was the better player.
Who's your top 5 pass rushers all time?
Reggie White, number one.
Mm.
Bruce Smith would be up there. I'm trying to think of some of these young bucks, like J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
I would put in there.
J.J. Watt seems like he may be better, but long career to go.
But I'll throw Aaron Donald in there at number 4. I won't just keep it on defensive ends.
Right.
I'm trying to remember of a guy that had a real nice technique coming off the side. See, there's a whole slew of guys stuck at like 120 to 130 sack-wise that you could talk about and – yeah, Lawrence Taylor coming off the corner's got to be up there. So, I might amend my list and put Lawrence Taylor number 2, right. Bruce Smith, Aaron Donald, and then the other guy that I had said after that, J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I think that's the direction that I'll go. And maybe some of these young kids right now will eventually get up there and they'll end up replacing, T.J. Watt's doing it. I don't think the Bosa boys are doing it quite the way they were doing it before.
It slowed down a lot with the Bosa boys a little bit. They're still really good.
Injuries kind of have done that a little bit to them, too. And remember, if you're in San Diego and you've only won 5-6 football games, you're not really getting a lot of opportunities versus the passer. Remember when the Bears started getting sacks? They got Sweat in here.
Yeah.
They started winning games. When they started winning games, teams had to throw. And if you look at the Bears, when did they get their sacks? At the end of the first half when you had to throw, at the end of the second half when teams were behind in the fourth quarter and they had to throw the ball. Then all of a sudden, what happened? All of a sudden, everybody was getting to the quarterback. Everybody was having a party. Everybody was having a good time. That's when sacks happen. The guys that can pressure quarterbacks in the first quarter, third quarter, when the game is close and the team doesn't have to throw or they're behind and you can still get a sack, those are guys that can rush the passer.
Yeah.
Those are some badass guys right there.
I always think about a Julius Peppers on that. He'd like, you'd see him like the game with a sack.
Yeah.
I mean, just be like, oh, this is going to be a long day, boy.
I like Julius. I mean, it's going to be a weird year. Julius is going to go in.
Yep.
You know, and obviously he's got some Bear stuff, Packer stuff, and Carolina stuff on him. McMichael's going to go in. So at least there'll be a reason to celebrate this year.
Yeah, I mean,
two guys going into the Hall of Fame.
Devin's going in. Devin probably getting in. Devin probably getting in. Come on, Yurt. Third time's the charm, Yurt.
Oh my God, that's comical.
Third time's the charm. You don't think that's Devin comical. Gets in again?
Why would he get in? Go ahead and make a case.
Listen,
why would he get in?
I'm not a Devin change the game guy. Never have been. Well, I think what changed the game,
because he didn't change the game.
I think what changed the game is the lawsuits that hit the NFL while he was running back touchdowns.
Well, of course, he never changed the game. You think he's the first guy that wasn't kicked to in the NFL?
No.
Do you think they didn't kick to other guys that were dangerous?
No.
I'll bring Mel Gray to the forefront. Nobody wanted to touch Mel Gray.
Yeah.
Mel Gray was a bad man. Yeah. Okay. He was a bad man. Brian Mitchell, you know, longevity, but at least Brian Mitchell played another position that did something. Brian Mitchell at least got an argument, man. I ran the ball. I caught the ball. I did things. How many years Devin played did Devin not score a touchdown? Because everybody wants to point to his 20 touchdowns.
Yeah,
everybody wants to say 20 touchdowns. Hey, look, he had 20 touchdowns. He played 12 years. I think 6 years of those, he had zero returns.
Yeah.
So per touchdown basis, it looks like he actually did nothing.
Right.
Now, obviously, he was returning kicks and returning punts and doing what it was that he was doing. You know, he's not the leading kickoff returner.
No, I think
in Bears Cordero history,
Patterson,
right?
Corduroy.
Corduroy. Right.
Corduroy Patterson.
So he's not, you know, he's not the most efficient guy.
I loved when Cordero was here. Yeah. Because poor Dick Stockton, he was going down in flames. Yeah. Every black guy with dreads was Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
I was like, Dick, the defense is out there. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
No, that's not Cordero Patterson.
So Devin had 20 returns for a touchdown. How many opportunities to get the return touch? How many touches? 500?
Probably.
Was he a one in every 35 touches he scored a touchdown?
It was so much. It was so much in the beginning because people.
Well, it was early. Yeah, it was the first 2 years.
Very, very early. Very early. People were like, "We're gonna find a way to stop this guy."
Right. So,
and then it literally became. I'll say this, and you can speak to this because you played on special teams and different things like that. When you basically will tell a team, "We're gonna punt it away from you," and try and put you at the 30, just to keep the football out of his hands.
Right.
Like, isn't that similar?
Like they did to Haven Moses.
Yeah.
Like they did to Rick Upchurch. Yeah. Like they've done to a million guys that have played in this league before. Yeah. It's not nothing new. People tried to make it like it was something new, and it was not. So, but you didn't get to the answer to my final question when I asked you how many touches. I think it was like one every 33, something like that. Yeah, if you take a look at it. One every 47
one
touches
every 47 he scored touchdowns. Touch, okay.
So I bring up the name Travis Roadrunner Williams.
Right.
And you asked me who Travis Roadrunner Williams is.
I am going to ask you that.
Played for the Packers in the, I think it was 69, 70, 71, or 70 through 73. Only had a 4-year career.
Right.
I think he had 6 or 7 returns for touchdowns and 115 touches in punt returns and kickoff returns. So he touched the ball 115 times, had 115 total returns, and scored 6 or 7 touchdowns. So where's the productivity at? Do you know why he didn't make the team? In the fifth year, because he couldn't play another position. Mm. He didn't have his grandpappy taking care of him upstairs, Jerry Angelo. He didn't have a head coach that absolutely loved him and said that even though we're trying to find a position for him and he can't play a position because he's not good enough.
Right.
Okay. The only thing he can do is catch the ball and run forward. Okay. Can't catch passes looking back and then have the same mystic way that he had with returning a kick. So look at Travis Williams, the Roadrunner. For the Packers, 6 touchdown returns. I think he had one punt return. That to me is the most productive return guy in NFL history. But nobody knows about him. Why? Because nobody gave a rat's ass because he couldn't play a position.
Right.
But all of a sudden, I'm supposed to give a rat's ass because Devin Hester couldn't play a position and he returned some kicks and then did it in the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, now I'm supposed to go wild. That I'm supposed to go crazy.
Well, I think it's the fact
you got legitimate people that should be in the Hall of Fame
yes.
that have 90 plus touchdowns in their career that have impacted the game in a great manner that are fighting and clawing to get in the game, like Freddie Taylor. Freddie Taylor's got an argument to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, Freddie Taylor does. Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't have a claim? Devin Hester. But I'm not a fool. I understand the people on the Hall of Fame committee I don't know what they want to do. Either way. But
well, it's if Devin Hester, record, right?
If Devin Hester eventually,
yeah.
Deion Hester is not in as a return guy.
No. I'm just
Deion Hester is in as a cornerback.
Deion Sanders. I'm just saying that it's the claim that he has is he's the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
From a numbers standpoint, nobody ever returned more in total than he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not doing it for you.
No, it doesn't. But I realize the people that are in charge of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
At some point, we'll put Devin Hester in.
Yes.
And then I won't be the guy clamoring. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh, at that point, it's congratulations.
It's not a kicker.
Nice job.
It's not a kicker.
The time to object to it,
right,
is now.
Right.
So that's why I'm the only guy that ever says he doesn't belong.
Right.
Because I don't think he does belong.
Okay.
So, but when he gets in, congratulations, nice job. He'll have his little gold jacket on, and he can go represent companies and go and do what he does. Like, I think we saw him out here one day with FanDuel. Was he at our golf course last year?
I don't think
it was a year or 2 years ago.
Two years ago,
we had him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was representing FanDuel or somebody out there. Hey, great to see him. Or Rivers or somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, great to see you. Whatever was going on. Yeah, I don't want to miss a place where he was at. So it's good to see you. Great. Shake your hand. You're still not a Hall of Famer in my eye, but that's fine. Doesn't make a difference to me. You know, I'm not that passionate about it. I'm passionate about people that deserve to be in. You know who deserves to be in?
Mongo.
500,000 times.
Mongo.
Mongo, yeah. But Mongo's getting in, so I'm not worried about him right now. 500,000 times was a more impactful player in a short period of time than Devin Hester ever dreamed of being.
Mm-hmm.
Sterling Sharp.
I
Sterling Sharp was a badass mamma jamma.
I don't disagree with
that. Yeah. And so when you tell me who belongs and who doesn't belong, to me, it's simple. It's not even easy. It's not even a contest. You put the two players next to each other, and one has got so much gravitas, and he's got so much legitimacy to him that, and I understand you can't do that.
Right.
I understand it's unfair to Devin, but if one's going to get in, and the other one's still on the outside looking in, even though his brother's in there already. I think that's an absolute shame.
Why? I know it's the years, right? He didn't end up getting to play a full career because of the injuries and things.
Yeah, he got hurt in 94, I believe. Yeah.
But it's
neck injury.
When you see somebody so impactful, how does that not qualify them for the Hall of Fame?
Well, people forget. People forget. It was Jerry Rice and Sterling Sharp that were all
100%.
Pros. 100%. But they were the all pros.
Yeah.
They were the Pro Bowlers. It wasn't Michael Irvin.
It wasn't until Sterling moved out of the way.
It wasn't Chris Carter.
Yeah.
It wasn't those guys.
Yeah.
It was Sterling Sharp that was the guy catching 100-plus balls. First one to do it after Art Monk did it.
Yeah.
That was Sterling Sharp. It wasn't anybody else.
It's just
those little crosses in pro football reference that say all pro first team.
Yeah.
Those were next to Sterling Sharp and Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Those were the two studs in the league.
It's just so weird to me because it's like you can see someone be so impactful. And if they play right, like if they're impactful their first 5 years and they kind of like peter out the last five, they'll get in the Hall of Fame. Because even the last 5 years, it was like, oh, he was all right. I mean, he still was good. But those first five, he was elite. But if an injury takes away from a guy's career and he can't get to those last five, the first five are amazing.
Right. So that's the Terrell Davis, the Gale Sayers, the Dwight Stevenson role. Those three guys were so exceptional early on in their careers that the committee looked at it and said, yes, they're Hall of Famers because of the impact that they had.
Right.
So, you know, I put Sterling in that category. So how do I bust it down when they ask me per year? Per year. What was he per year and what was he per game?
Yeah.
And plot him on a graph with the rest of your Hall of Famers to see where he's at. And he played in the 80s. So he didn't play in this time where the passing is absolutely ridiculous and they're throwing the ball over the yard. He played a much more conservative era. So I bet you his numbers still match up with a bunch of these guys. So, but that's why I said, but listen, in our kinder, gentler, softer world that we live in now, I do believe that Devin Hester will be a Hall of Famer
right.
at some point in his quest to get there. So I do believe he will get there eventually. So
do you believe it will be this year?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but I do believe at some point he will get
the
it.
Fact that he's made it to being a finalist this year.
Puts it's him good for him. I mean, yeah, he's been a finalist all 3 years, I believe.
I don't think the first year he made finalists, right? I think first year,
yeah,
he got cut short.
But I do think,
but I also think that he'll get in. Like T.O. and guys like that. Right. It was like, yeah, you're not getting
in. But I do think he'll get in, so I don't think that's a concern.
The only issue I have with the NFL Hall of Fame is, all right, we're going to put guys in. They put a ref in last year.
Well,
what are we doing here? Yeah, what are we doing?
So what are you putting owners in for either?
Yeah, I mean.
You know, and then every guy that's been the commissioner, Pete Rozelle will be in, Tagliabue will be in, this guy will be in. What's like his name? Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell, he'll get in.
Yeah, we automatically get into the hall because we're commissioners.
Yeah, what are we doing here? And that one blows my mind. But
Jerry Jones goes in.
The 90s.
I mean, did he found the league?
Jerry Jones goes in for the 90s. Yeah. Because he can't go in for this playoff run, I'll tell you that
much. Not only that, but besides Al Davis, Jerry Jones was the one guy that just wanted to break everything the NFL was trying to do.
Yeah.
If the NFL signed a contract with MasterCard, he went with Visa. If they signed a deal with Coca-Cola, he went with Pepsi.
Yeah.
If they signed a deal with Budweiser, he went with Miller Lite. Anything the NFL did, he did exactly the opposite, trying to generate as much money as he could.
Yeah.
And basically laid that out there. But I think he is one of those visionaries they had, along with Kraft and a couple other guys who had to fight the McCaskies, had to fight the Mike Brown with the Cincinnati Bengals, had to fight some of those old owners that had that old school thinking.
Yeah.
They had to overcome those guys to be able to bring the NFL to where it is now. Remember, I started in 93. The first salary cap was $36 million.
Jeez.
All right, we're 30 years later, and the salary cap is what, 247?
No, Montez Sweat signed.
Yeah, 250
for more than the salary.
But that's how much it's grown, you know. So, and don't even do it. Salary cap. Do the gross revenues from 1993.
Yeah,
and then turn it into the gross revenues that they have now, and see how substantial that is.
And you were practice squad.
Yeah. Well, first year.
First year.
90 and 91, I was practice squad. Yeah. And they got rid of the practice squad after 89 because the players wanted more money. You're living in New York on $1,000 a week. Good luck. After New York taxes, too, you know. What are you taking home?
You gotta drive to Philly after every practice. You just got to drive.
You know, having 1,000 in Green Bay is a little bit different than having 1,000 in New York, yeah, you know.
A little bit.
Yeah,
just
so
a little bit.
So they raised it from 1,000 to 3,000.
Yeah.
The
3,000 was a good time.
To 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay.
That's Rolex Yurk, right?
No, you're making good. Not yet. Not yet. No, that wasn't Rolex Yurk. Rolex Yurk didn't come around in 93. And that's only because it was given to me, not because I went and bought it. I didn't buy a Rolex for myself until 1997. Okay. That's the first time I said, okay, I'm going to splurge on myself.
A little something for you.
Yeah.
Something for you. You still got it?
I like me for me, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you get rid of it? Absolutely. I've taken it out of play.
Yeah.
I don't wear it a lot.
You're not rocking a Rolex?
No.
You seem like a good boy.
I'll bring my NFL starter kit in one time.
Come on now. Come on.
I got the pendant.
Yeah.
I got a nice bracelet.
Yeah.
I got the watch. Oh, yeah.
I need the bling
no
on the
earrings.
Pod.
You're... I was never an earring guy.
Not so an earring guy?
Never did any earrings. Never even thought about it. Not for my ear. My dad would have killed me. I come home with an earring. My dad would have shook his head. He would have said, Lord, take me now. What the hell did I raise?
Here it goes.
So, hey, some guys look good with earrings. Jordan looks good with an earring. Let MJF wear one if he wants it.
The hoop is a little overplayed. Yeah.
I don't stop people from wearing it, not wearing it. I'm just saying a big fella like myself doesn't need to have an earring. That's all.
The time I decided was they had come out with the magnetic earrings to see if you wanted to like actually have them or not. You could test them out. I put a couple diamonds in my ear. I'm walking around the house. I look in the mirror. Yeah. Looked like my mom. Snatched them clean out of my ear. Looked just like my mom. I was like,
time to go.
I was like, you know what? They might not be for me. I don't want to walk into the wrong neighborhood with these on. Hey, we appreciate another week, another Friday with the good kid.
Interesting,
You got to stay safe out here, York. Follow us on everything at Chicago Bears Podcast. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love to another great week of podcast. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Fair done. Peace.